Chuck and Shiloh Brown. They've come from Winchester. Pastor Gordon and Debbie met them several years ago when they went to Branson, and apparently they were standing in line, and Gordon said he thought they must have come from the farthest distance around, but Shiloh must have overheard that, and she won up to him. She did, but praise God, they were having that conversation because they have become great friends. And I know they've been a wonderful blessing to Pastors Gordon and Debbie and a blessing to us by way of that. So I'll quit talking so Shiloh has some time, okay? Thank you. Let's welcome Shiloh, please.
Thank you. I think I'm, am I on? Okay. No, off. Oh, well, what an honor it is to be here. It was neat because I was standing in line and Debbie came up and Gordon, and Debbie had this long, beautiful black raincoat on. Branson, Missouri. So anyway, I turned around and I said, oh, I love that coat. And she looked at my name tag, and here we are, Winchester, you know. So it was a God-ordained meeting, that was for sure. But it has been our great pleasure to know them. And we have ministers' luncheons, oh, every month if the weather permits. But we love having that fellowship. It's wonderful. And, you know, no matter where you are, it's wonderful to be, like she was just saying, it's wonderful to be in the family of God, isn't it? No matter where you go. I've been to India and Africa and all these different countries. And no matter where you go or what color you are or what you wear, we're all one in the body of Christ. And that's wonderful, wonderful to be there. Well, I asked the Lord what I should share. Debbie even said to me, Shiloh, what are you going to share? And I said, well, I keep hearing who we are in Christ. And how can we be any other way but in Christ? I mean, that's our fulfillment. But who we are in Christ. And then the Lord gave me this. Who are we in Christ? What are we in Christ? Why are we in Christ? And how are we in Christ? So I'm going to go through those. How long do I have? About half hour. Till noon. Oh, my gosh. I won't talk that long. But, you know, who we are children of God. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, let's go there. Read that. Who we are in Christ, we are his children. And how do we become his children? If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth we confess that we are made unto salvation. So who we are children of God. We are also sons of God. In Romans 8, 14 through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we are joint heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. And if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So here we are, children of God and sons of God. And you know, we had a lot of young people that came when we started. We have a house church that we started. And our greatest gift to those young people was to say to them, Jesus Christ is in you. No matter where you go, and they were, when they first started coming, they were very worldly, very worldly. We kept saying to them, wherever you are, you represent Jesus. Whatever you do, you represent Jesus. So we kept just instilling that in them. No matter where you go, who you are is who you portray. So whatever you do, wherever you go. I know my husband worked he worked for FEMA. He was in the world. But you know what? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. So I know it's difficult for some of us who don't work in the world to know how important it is that we are separated from the world. But when we have that image of who we are in Christ, then you know that light shines. No matter how dark, the darker actually, the brighter you shine. And this world, we must have to admit, is a pretty dark world now. So the more word we have in us, the more of Jesus, which is the word, the more we shine. And who are we in Christ? We are redeemed. We are the redeemed ones. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5, I have to tell you that my husband teaches on Sunday mornings, and we have this young girl that's been coming that Winchester, I don't know about it here, but there's such an opioid epidemic in Winchester. In that area that we're in there, we've had 34 deaths of overdose in a year, and it's just so sad. So the area, the Frederick County and some of the areas around, have started a program, and it's called the Drug Court. And what if you choose the Drug Court, it's a very strict, very, very strict program. And every week you take classes. Every week you go before the judge. You're checked every other day for drugs. It's a very strict, and thank God they're doing it, because they're really helping people. But one of the people that's coming to our group is in that drug court, and she came about 5 years ago, and she did for about a month or so, and then she didn't come back, and then she just kept getting further and further away, and she was a Christian. She kept getting further and further away. So when she started coming back this time, this scripture is her scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And Chuck tells her, Wanda's her name, Chuck says, "Now, Wanda, remember this scripture. Remember this scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And we keep saying to her, old things. That was the old Wanda. And now this is the new Wanda. To see her now is just like watching a flower bloom. It's just the most beautiful thing to see. And to see that the strength that she has in Christ has given her that strength. And really, last week they had a program, and she did a mime with a dance with Christian music. Now, this was for the community. This wasn't, you know, Christian. So she's really being a testimony in our town as to what God is doing in her. But Chuck keeps saying to her, remember, old things have passed away, Wanda, and you are a new creation. You're a new creation. And the program there doesn't have a facility, but for her, and we keep saying to her how important each one of us is to the kingdom of God. Each one of us is to God. We keep saying to her, you are so important. There's actually a home that has opened up for women, and it's called Harvest Light, a new program. And she was able to get in that home because when she literally stayed in prison until the drug court accepted her because she knew if she got out on the street, what would happen. So she chose to stay in until there was a place for her. But I keep saying to her, how special you are to God that he's provided that for you, provided a home for you. And she was living with her mother, who was a real, it was just God that this home came about. But you know what? But God does that for all of us as his children. That just happens to be, for us, a beautiful testimony of what God is doing in someone's life. But I'm sure that if I went to each one of you, you would have the same testimony, because each one of us is that special to our Father. But I'm going to continue with that. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We also are ambassadors, and then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, when you're an ambassador, like when we've traveled to other countries, our son is married to a young lady that works for the State Department, and she said, when you go to another country, she told Kathy and Ed, oh, by the way, I'm Kathy's sister. Kathy and Ed have been here. I know they love you all. You know what? We have three children and five grandchildren, and you know how you kind of brag on your kids and your grandkids. I have to tell you that Gordon and Debbie brag on you. They brag on you. And it's just beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see a pastors who love their sheep, who care for their sheep, who feed their sheep. It's beautiful to see. Listen, in the 45 years that we've been around, it's beautiful to see this example that we have sitting in front of us, let me tell you. We've been around a long time. But anyway, we are ambassadors. When you go to another country, you go to their embassy. And you're an ambassador there. Their embassies, if anything happens, you go to that embassy and immediately you are a United States citizen. So if anything happens, Kathy always says to us, when you go to another country, and she told Kathy and Ed, they had not done that in all the 12 years they had been there until Kathy met them. And Kathy said, you need to go to the American embassy there and you need to register, because if anything would happen, you go there. And you know what? That we are ambassadors, but we are ambassadors for Christ, and we are in his embassy. So anything happens to us, we run into that embassy of who we are in Jesus Christ. We run in there. And we are protected. The 91st Psalm, I have to tell you this. Ed and Kathy were in India. We visited them for our 50th birthday. That was 8 years ago. We've been married 58 years. But anyway, we were there with Kathy and Ed. And in Bangalore, where we were with them, the traffic is terrible. And to get across town is like an hour. So they were visiting their Solomon, who has a church there in Mandya, and Ed had a heart attack. Well, it just happened that they were 5 minutes from the hospital. But she got in touch with us. It was in the middle of the night. She got in touch with us to pray. And this is how important the Word of God is to us. I got my Bible out. I went in the living room. And, of course, the first thing you could do when your family's 8,000 miles away where you don't know what really kind of medical care is there or what. And the first thing you do is take authority over fear, because that's the first thing that enters your mind. Oh, my Lord, you know, here they are away from family and everything. But I took the 91st Psalm and started just praying that out loud for Ed. I put his name in there. The more I prayed, the more I said that psalm, the more the word went out, the calmer I got, and the more confident that no, them 8,000 miles away, that everything was going to be fine. So that word that we have in us, that word that we can run to, that embassy of the word that we can run to, which I know they've been doing for the last few days. But how secure that is, that we have that, that we have that, no matter what the devil, the turkey, I call him a turkey, and I like to pluck his feathers, let me tell you, and I do. Anyway, and when we can go there, when we can pray, when we have that confidence in the word, and we have that confidence of knowing who we are in Christ, how secure that is, how secure that is, that places us in that security. And who we are in Christ, we are redeemed, which is what we were just talking about. We are the redeemed ones. We've been redeemed out of darkness into light. We've been redeemed from the world into the kingdom of God. We've been redeemed, and we are righteous. Romans 3:21-26. We are righteous, in right standing. And I think you did a whole series on righteousness, didn't you? Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, by whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So we are redeemed and we are righteous. In Romans 5, 17 through 20. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We reign. When you reign, you know, you can see, can't you just see? I love to watch the Queen. I like all that fluff. But, you know, when you're a queen or you're a king and you reign, you say one word and it's done. But you know what? You say the word, whatever you need in your life. You find that word that God has given you, that word. One time I was always moving furniture. Chuck never knew when he left the next morning what he'd find when he got back home from work. I would have the furniture all moved and everything. And I remember picking up a chair, getting it stuck on the stairway. But anyway, I did it. But I hurt my back. And you know what? I thought, you know what? I am in Christ. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that back is not going to keep me from reigning in life to finish this work. But you know what? Get an image of that. Get an image of who you are that you can reign. No matter what, you can reign in life as a king, as a queen. Whatever you say the word, you know what? You have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You have that word in you and you have faith in that word. You speak it and you expect it. Speak it and expect it. And then you'll see things change. Okay, and now I love, you can tell I like Romans. Romans 8, 1 and 2. And we are redeemed. We are redeemed. We are righteous and we're redeemed. And we are free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Chuck prays that over us every day. The life of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. You know, who was the minister that had the huge meetings in Africa and stuff? He would say, when I've arrived, God has arrived. You know what? When you arrive, I can't think of his name then. I'll think of it in a minute. But he's the same as Reinhard Bonnke. But he would say, no matter where he would go, he would say, when I've arrived, God has arrived. And you know what? When you have that image of yourself, no matter what situation you're in, how dark it is around you, when you have arrived, God has arrived. And you know where we are is the light that shines. Now, what are we in Christ? We are joint heirs. Romans 8 again. Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, 16 through 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. But the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the heirs of God. So there we go back to the embassy. You know, when you're an heir, then you inherited that. You inherited that, who you are. In Galatians 3:13, we are redeemed from the curse. And when we are redeemed from the curse, automatically we are blessed. We're blessed with the blessings of Abraham. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Oh my gosh, could you imagine what it would be like to live? I can't. Listen, the law was big enough for me the way I grew up because we had a father. There were six of us kids. Kathy and I had three older brothers and then three girls. Kathy's younger than me. But did we have a father that was strict? Now, you talk about the law. You didn't break it either. He looked over his glasses like this at you, and boy, that was it. That was it. But you know what? It gives you a taste of what it would be like to live under the law, where no matter what you did, you broke the law. How could you keep, 613 laws or something? You broke one, and we're redeemed from that. We are righteous. We are redeemed from that law. With the grace of God, we are redeemed. And you know, this scripture in Romans 8 that I was talking about, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, the devil condemns us. It's the devil that condemns you and puts you down and oppresses you. It's the devil, that turkey. It's the devil that does that. He condemns. And you know what? When you feel condemned and you feel guilty, then it's hard to receive. It's hard to receive. We were in a wonderful church in Warrington for several years, and he was a strong, strong faith teacher from South Africa. And he taught faith and taught faith and taught faith. He said, Shiloh, I was the secretary. He said, I just don't understand. People are just not getting hold of this faith message. And I said, you know what? It's hard to have faith in somebody you don't really, really know. So once you get to know the Father, what he has done for us through Jesus Christ, and we can trust him, then we can have faith in him. And 58 years of marriage, believe you me, I trust my husband. I have faith in my husband because I trust him. So when you are condemned, you just absolutely take authority over it. You say, I will not receive condemnation. I am guilt-free because Jesus bore that guilt for me. And then so easily we can receive from God. That's the devil's tactic, is fear, guilt, condemnation. We don't have to receive any of that. We don't have to receive any of that. We are also, we have authority. When we have, what do we have? We have authority. Authority over that turkey. I mean, no matter what, put him under your feet and stomp him. You know what? Once you know who you are in Christ, it just is a natural thing for you to take authority over the devil. You know, recognize it. Recognize when it's him. It's not the people. It's not the person. Recognize when it's the devil. Strife, envy, jealousy, anything like that. Take authority over it. I taught this week at that home for the girls, that Harvest Light. There were 12 people. That was really a nice group. And the one young lady had just come the day before, and a real history there. And she had had a dream that night. I used this scripture that I'm going to give to you, Luke 10:19. And I quoted that scripture, and I noticed this look on her face. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, afterwards, she said to me, I had a dream last night, and she said there was this bridge, and there was this little girl on the bridge, and all of these serpents and all of these things. She said, just like you said, serpents and scorpions around that little girl. And she said, I was trying to get to her. I was trying to save her. I was trying to get to her. And when I gave that scripture out, and you know, one scripture on authority that I chose, and you know how many is in there, that just shows you, though, how important every person. I didn't know that girl was going to be there and what she had planned to do that week. So that was the Spirit of God just ministering to her. And did that speak volumes to her? That spoke volumes to her that there was the answer to that prayer. She was 16, 17 weeks pregnant. Precious, precious young lady. But, you know, when we just say something, even in passing, it could be the Spirit of God in us. Just in passing, just be obedient. Just be obedient. It's just like, I think she was saying, it's so easy to worship God when you know who he is. And you know, when you are led by the Spirit, it's just so easy to, that prompting of the Holy Spirit in you, to just smile to somebody, just greet them, just show that light. Where, like I said, the world around us is dark. And the light that we carry, the life that we carry in us, just like I said, no matter where you go, Jesus is there, God is there. But that light that is in us, that we just spread it wherever we go, that light. In John 10:10, of course, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you that abundant life, that life of God. And the next, why are we? Why are we in Christ Jesus? Why are we the church? To share the good news of the gospel and the love. John 3:16. Let's go there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John 3:16. Let's just read it. You think, when you read this scripture, you think of Billy Graham, don't you? John, what a wonderful man of God he was. And how God, wasn't that neat to see how God was glorified in his homegoing, in the nation, in the world? Oh my gosh, it was just beautiful to sit there and to see the witness that he was, and that the whole world got to see who Jesus is in Billy Graham. It was beautiful. I thought it was just beautiful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when we, as the church, go out, and we are the church, to share the church. You know, sheep beget sheep. You go out, you bring the sheep. The shepherd doesn't go out and beat the bushes and call for the sheep. The sheep bring the sheep. So when you're in the world, and just like this little girl that was there, or Wanda, now her aunt, two of her aunts, and come to our house group, and they invited her. And it's great to see how God has worked. And her aunt Kathy is so good to her. She, of course, she doesn't have a car or anything. She picks her up. But this is how God works. For 5 years, we've had our house church, and the couples that came didn't want to go to a church, but they wanted to come. I had actually married the couple like 10 years before, and they had remembered that we had something in our house, so they called and asked if they could come. But this is how God works. Kathy prayed for years for her daughter, Vicky. They had absolutely no relationship whatsoever. And Vicky, her daughter, Kathy told me the 2 years ago at Christmas, somebody gave her a plaque with the name of God on it. She threw it in the trash. Now that's how away from God she was. And Kathy's prayed and prayed and prayed for her, of course. Well, Kathy had offered to come and clean our house, which was an answer to prayer. But she said to me one day, Shyla, is it okay if I bring Vicky? And I said, well, sure. It's wonderful, sure. You know, well, Kathy was thrilled that Vicky would come, you know. So she came, and she had been having problems with her legs. And I said, well, Vicky, Jesus can heal your legs. She said, well, nobody can find out what's wrong with them. They hurt all the time. Nobody can, the doctors can't find out. I said, well, Jesus can heal your legs. I said, by the way, do you know Jesus? She said, no, I don't. I said, well, would you like to know Jesus? And she said, yes, I would. And she accepted the Lord. And to see that girl, and this just shows you, like connections, like we met them. This just shows you how we tune our ears. We keep those Holy Ghost feelers out. And how to see her go from absolutely denying God to you just would not believe her now. And she goes to that home. She has calls Wanda every day. She gives her scripture every day. I mean, just to see how God has worked in that family. And you know what? If Chuck and I never do anything else in our ministry with traveling or anything else, you know what? It was worth it to see what God has done and is doing in that family. It's just beautiful to see the work of the Holy Spirit. So just keep your doors open. Keep your hearts open. Who knows who God may bring to you, really. And you change, and you may be the very one that opens their eyes to see who Jesus is. You may be the very one that for that clerk in the store or a nurse at the hospital or whoever. Just be led by the Spirit of God, because you may be that very person that like Kathy had prayed for years for Vicky. Well, you know, it was like it was a set deal when she came there to the house, you know, that we would, of course, want to tell her about Jesus. So, and I'll tell you what, when we share that good news in this day and age, it is good news. It is good news. 1 John 4:17 through 21. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. And walk around with a smile on your face and with that light of the gospel on your face. You know what? You'll be noticed. You'll be noticed. Your light of the gospel will be noticed. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the Spirit of truth. This, let me tell you, this love is what will be seen by the world. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. In this love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And walking in love, well, I know Brother Hagin has this whole series on love, and it's like, oh my gosh, will we ever get to that point where we could walk in that kind of love that man walked in. Why are we in Christ? To share the love of God. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And you know what? We may be the only Jesus somebody knows. We may be. Chuck always would tell these young people, you know what? You are the testimony. You may be the only Jesus. You are the Jesus. Maybe the only Jesus that the people know around you. And I had this saying I used to say, because they were all party people. I mean, they really came out of the world. And I would say, if you live in a fish bowl, you're going to smell like a fish. And you know what? I bet you, we haven't seen some of those kids for 5 or 6 years, but I bet you anything. If you would ask them, they would say what Chuck would say about Jesus in them being the only testimony. And they would say, if you live in a fish bowl, you're going to smell like a fish. So that, I mean, they won't forget those two things. No matter where they go, they won't forget that. But why are we in Christ? To share the love, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The Great Commission, Mark 16:15. We are the church. We are the church. Mark 16, this is our great, great commission to go. Mark 16, 15. go into all the world. Now, this is why we are in Christ. This is why. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe, or will follow the church, will follow us who believe. In my name, in Jesus' name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And I know that this church believes and does all those things. You are the church. And what a light you are in this city. I mean, you there's a great group here, I think. I mean, what an effect you can have on this city as each one of you go out as ambassadors for Christ. Each one of you go out as the church. And of course, we are the church. Here we are back in Romans again. Romans 12, 4 through 8. Why are we in Christ? Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And then all the rest. But that's why we are the church. That's why you're in Keyser, West Virginia. Because you are the church. You can change this whole city with the light of each one of you that you go out. Whatever your field is, you are the ambassador for that company, for wherever you are. You are that light that shines. And also, let me tell you, another reason why we are the church, to pray. And boy, do we need to pray for this country. It's beautiful to see the country, though, turning. I mean, we can see the different atmosphere, the different climate. But to pray for the president every day, to pray for the people around him, that the right people would be around him. Oh, it's so important to do that. But to see the freedom that he's giving to the church now, and the open doors that the church can have, it's changed the atmosphere in America. It's definitely changed. And that's from prayer. You know what? You stop and you think about before the election, no matter where you went, everybody was praying for the election. And but we've got to keep that momentum. This, in the war, you took a hill. I was asking Chuck what, because I didn't know the difference in our football. Our son-in-law's a football coach, and I remember saying to him one time, now, Danny, tell me the difference between offense and defense. Well, listen, we need to stay on the offense and pray and pray and continue that prayer, because now we do have our country back. We do have it back. You know, there may be some little fringe things going on, but good gracious, look at the impact now America's going to have on the world. Every decision that he makes needs to hear from God, our president. And he can hear from God. So pray every day. But in James 5:17, the heartfelt prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Just like when I took that 91st Psalm and prayed over Ed. You know, the power, the anointing that comes on you when you start praying and you pray the word. I said it likens to the spinach that Popeye ate. You know, remember spinach? He'd eat that spinach, and his arm would go out, you know, and this arm would go out. You can just feel, listen, you pray under that anointing, like take authority of the devil. you pray in that anointing and you start confessing the word that the Lord gives you for your city, for your church, for your pastors, you can feel that. You can feel that anointing in your spirit, man. Just like Popeye. Just envision Popeye. Here you go, devil. You know what? Get out of my way, because here I come. You know, I taught several years ago, Kathy and Ed had a church in Abingdon, and I taught them prayer. Usually that's what I teach on is prayer and healing. And we were there in their church, and I was teaching on prayer. And the Lord said to me, and I was saying to Chuck last night, I'm going to share that with your church. The Lord gave me this word for them. When you gather in the evenings for dinner and you have your prayer, pray for your pastors at that time. You pray. It's so important to pray for our president, but just as important that you pray for your pastors, that they hear from God. The enemy can't attack them, that they're doing what God has called them to do. They're placed in this city because God placed them here. And the work that this church has to do, you pray it out. Pray the plan and the purpose for this church, for this community, for this city. Pray, and just make that a point. That's a point to pray. We were watching Kenneth Copeland last night from Branson, and he was saying he promised God that every day he would pray for his partners. And he said, well, how can I remember? What can I pray every day? So he said, the Lord showed him, you take a shower every morning. So in the shower, that's when you pray. You pray every morning for your partners in the shower. And he said, that's the first thing I do. But see, when you get in a habit of praying, you get in a habit of praying for your community, for your church, for your pastors. When you do that with your meal, your prayer for your meal, then it just becomes an automatic thing to do. And it's not just rote. You know when you're praying. God will tell you what to pray. He will show you every day what to pray. It may be a need in somebody in the church. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Just keep yourself sensitive. Pray in the Spirit. Boy, I was so thrilled when I finally got to pray in the Spirit. I grew up Lutheran and loved a church. My parents worked for the church. Our parents worked for the Lutheran Mountain Mission work. Our whole family was the church. Everything we did, Kathy and I grew up in the church, literally. And in the Lutheran church, then we were taught the word. I mean, we went to a Lutheran school an hour a day. I had a hunger for the word, but I knew there was something more. I knew there was something more. And my younger sister was in California in the Jesus movement. Well, she came home and she started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. Well, we didn't have that in the Lutheran church then. They may have it now. But I knew that's exactly what I need. That's what I'm hungering for. That's what I need, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went everywhere looking for it. I should have just asked God, right? But I went to this church. I went to that church, and they'd look at me, and they'd say, of course, I always wore makeup and jewelry, you know. And they'd say, you need to get born again. Well, I knew I was born again. I just wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to speak in tongues. Well, the devil kept saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough for that. When I finally received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, years, I mean, I sought for it for years. And I received it at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. And I mean, I was so excited because I could pray in the Spirit. I wanted to go up and down our street. I just wanted to pray in the Spirit all the time. You know what? It is such a power tool that we have, praying in the Spirit. Just like it says here, pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit. If you don't know how to pray for your pastors, you don't know how to pray for your church, pray in the Spirit, because you're praying God's perfect will then when you pray in the Spirit. So, how are we in Christ? We are in Christ through the new birth. We're in Christ by his blood. The Hebrews 9, 11, and 12. We're in Jesus because of the cross. We're in Jesus because of the blood. We're in Jesus because of the word. We're in Jesus because we choose to be. You know, our will is so strong. Our wills are so strong. But we choose to be. We choose to belong to Jesus. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, and with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Through that blood, we became Christians. Through that new birth, through the cross, through the blood. If you don't remember anything I said today, just remember who you are in Christ, how important you are to the body of Christ, how important you are to this church, how important you are. And no matter where you go, you represent Jesus Christ. You are that light, and you represent him in that light. So it's been an honor to be here with you today and to share the word with you. Who are we in Christ? What are we in Christ? Why are we in Christ? And how are we in Christ? Oh, T.L. Osborne. Chuck remembered. Yeah, it was T.L. Osborne. He traveled the world for years and never... It wasn't in America. We didn't really know who he was. And the miracles hit, and that's what he, no matter where he go, in Africa, these places, he had no fear, because he knew who he was in Christ. So anybody have a need? Do you need prayer? Do you need to know that no matter where you go, that you are that light, no matter who? And I assume that everyone here knows Jesus Christ. If you don't, raise your hand and you'll get to know him just like Vicky did, real quick. Real quick. But it really has been an honor to be with you today and to fellowship with like-minded, beloved people. So God bless you.